In Egypt, if Hosni Mubarak had not been forced from the president's office, he might have tried to have his son succeed him. In Libya, if President Muammar Gaddafi stays in power, one of his sons is expected to one day take his place. Journalist Stephen Kinzer recently wrote about the sons of dictators in the Daily Beast, and we contacted him in Boston. Good morning.
Good to be with you.
You write that the biggest mistake dictators make is having sons, which sounds like a laugh line, but then you go on to prove that actually there's some truth to that. What do you mean?
I think you could certainly argue, for example, in Egypt, that if President Mubarak had made clear that he was going to retire at the end of his term and that he was not going to place his son in power, he might still be sitting in Cairo running the country. People get fed up with this after a while. They had 30 years of dictatorship. That's one thing. But you like to think there's at least a biological end to this. I don't think it was a coincidence that less than a week after the protests began in Egypt, the president of Yemen held a press conference to announce that he was not, as previously thought, going to try to place his son on the presidential palace throne after him. So the anger people are feeling in the Middle East is coming in part over this realization that with sons of dictators waiting in the wings, there's no visible end.
There also seems to be a pattern of sons having these horrific, sadistic tendencies. I think of Saddam Hussein's sons, for example, or some of the stories about Muammar Gaddafi's sons. Why is that?
You're absolutely right. Saddam's two sons were renowned torturers and rapists. The dictator of Romania, Ceausescu, had a son who was also a famous rapist, a couple of them including the son of Slobodan Milosevic in Yugoslavia and Charles Taylor in Liberia have been accused of going into the drug smuggling business. Why do they do this? These people grow up with this exaggerated sense of privilege, and you really get horrific situations emerging in some of these families where the sons are allowed to live out their most grotesque fantasies.
Now, in many of those situations, the sons did not actually take power of the country, but there are places such as Syria where sons of dictators are currently ruling the country. What do those situations tend to look like?
It's true. The current leader of Syria is the son of the last leader. But I think he's seen a little bit differently from some of the other sons in that part of the world. First of all, he's relatively young. He's been in power a relatively short time, which is a little more than 10 years. He is seen as a reformer. So I don't think he faces the same challenges that others do. He seems to have behaved well. And I think it shows that there can be exceptions.
What about daughters?
The record is a little bit better. We saw that with Benazir Bhutto in Pakistan, Indira Gandhi in India. These are not paragons of democracy. They seem to have inherited, however, some sense of power and leadership. And although they're not above corruption, they tend to be more open-minded, more willing to compromise, and less drawn to some of these stereotypical male pastimes like racing fast cars and going in for excesses of drinking and sex and other kinds of intense pleasures.
Now, you mentioned that Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak might not have been forced from power if not for his plan to put his son in his place. What about the current uprising in Libya? Do you think that Muammar Gaddafi's son's prominence has anything to do with the turmoil there?
I do. I think that the fact that he has a couple of sons who not only look like they want to grab political power, but who already have shown themselves to be quite reckless spenders and really fitting into the negative image of dictators' sons, is something that has helped set off the conflagration in Libya. The sons often feel that everything in the national treasury belongs to them, and that they place themselves and their own desires ahead of the needs of their own people. That's something that's irritating in any country.
That's journalist Stephen Kinzer, who teaches at Boston University. Thanks a lot.
Great to be with you.